Hello and welcome to the Roundhouse Podcast. This is Paul Solentrop of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. Wichita State softball is in the early days of its fall practice, and we're in the press box at Wilkins Stadium with Associate Head Coach Elizabeth Economan. We also have Pitching Coach Presley Bell nearby if she needs to jump in with any expertise. She is certainly welcome. This is Elizabeth's fourth appearance on the podcast. I went back and counted. You're one behind volleyball coach Sean Carter.
Well, so let's do another one next week.
We may have to knock another one out just to get you equal on the charts with Sean. The Shockers, 41-13-1 last season. They won the American Athletic Conference regular season and tournament. Shockers defeated Texas A&M twice in the NCAA softball regional and advanced to the championship round before losing to number one Oklahoma. So I'll give you one more chance to talk about 2021 since there were so many fun things, lots of records, all kinds of wins. Do you have a final thought or do you have a new story, a new angle that maybe people haven't heard about 2021 before we move on?
No, I don't think we have anything new. We've talked about it so much and have enjoyed it. Sad that we probably should move on and start working with this team and moving forward for 22, but it's been nice to use for recruiting. It helped put us on a national scene, got us some TV time, obviously gives us lots of stats and stuff to talk about for future Shockers. So it was a blast. So one of the best teams I've ever been around from a talent and a team chemistry perspective and just an overall joy to coach. So something that we can obviously we'd love to build on. I think that's everybody's goal is to be better this year than we were last, and that's setting some pretty high expectations. But it was a blast. I don't think anybody had a bad time, and obviously set a pretty high standard here for Wichita State softball.
I'm sure social media is a big part of the recruiting strategy. Yeah, take us behind the curtain a little bit. How do you get the word out? How do you make sure that as many good softball players as possible know about what happened last season?
Well, geez, I actually talk about it on a couple days this week that my Twitter presence is awful, and I'm not a very good social media person, so I need to be better. But Weston does an outstanding job. Coach B does a great job of putting clips and putting graphics and throwing all kinds of stuff, facts and figures and highlights out there for everybody to see. And that's kind of the world we're living in, where if they can see it immediately and it catches their attention, they'll look for more. So we've been able to use a lot of the stuff from last year to promote camps, and we're out on the recruiting trail and get unofficial and official visits happening. So that's been the way, I think, to get the information immediately in the hands of the prospective student athletes. So Weston and Kayla and their whole crew, they do such a good job. They have an uncanny ability to make something look good in an instant and then throw it out in 140 characters or less or whatever. And that's something that I probably need to talk to them about.
Nobody does a better job of making it appear dramatic. Kids walking off a bus in front of a stadium. It gets me every time.
Man, and yeah, Marcus and Willie last year with their highlight videos and their pump-up reels. And, man, I mean, every once in a while I go back and watch it just to get me fired up about practice because they were so good. So we're lucky to have great people on staff here.
So how often do you bump into a recruit or have a parents and a recruit in and they will say, yeah, I watched you play Texas A&M, I watched you play OU last year, and that's part of the reason why I'm interested.
Yeah, I mean, it happens almost every time. We did, September 1st just happened a couple weeks ago, and that was our first opportunity to talk to 2023 graduates. So we did, 20 to 30 FaceTimes or Zooms with these student athletes to get the process started, and we would talk about our season and obviously what we were looking for in their class, and then briefly touch on our run in 21. And almost everybody said, yeah, you guys had a tough draw, but it was a blast to watch. And, we saw you on ESPN or ESPN Plus or whatever. So almost everybody has taken interest in us from that perspective, that we were very, very visible during the postseason, and it caught a lot of attention. Whether they were going to watch us or not, they were probably going to watch OU and just happened to get a good look at the Shockers.
So has Zoom become part of the recruiting process now, even when it's not mandatory? Is it just something now, a tool that you use more
often?
Yeah,
I think for us last year it was the only way to really do it, COVID obviously, but we had such success getting to know kids from a distance that way, because it's easier to see their facial expressions, and if they're you know, their interest level based on their, if they're smiling or if they're just trying to get through it, or, you know, there's a whole nonverbal communication side that you can see just by seeing them when they're speaking. So we don't require it. We ask them, you know, do you want to FaceTime? And they say, well, sure. And then sometimes I'll talk to a recruit post-practice and tell them that's probably not an option. I look a little rough from today's practice, so let's just have a good old-fashioned phone call. So it's but it's been interesting. I think it gives them a chance to see us as well and see that we are interested and we're all engaged in the conversation. So I think it'll stick around.
Will there be a new candy for home runs, or the Shocker sticking with high chews? Has that decision been debated in the office?
That decision has not been debated. In my opinion, as long as Maddie Espinosa's around, it's high chews. And that's, unless she comes up with something better, I think everybody's on the high chew bandwagon.
Okay, you're practicing, you got fall practice, you're going to have your first scrimmage Sunday at 1 against Pittsburgh State. What's the main emphasis for the fall?
Oh, reps. Seeing from an offensive perspective, see as much live pitching as we can, work some kinks out in our swings. But I think chemistry and fluidity within our new squad, getting them to play next to each other. Obviously, we're going to have a lot of changes. We graduated quite a few everyday players, so there's going to be new people in a lot of positions. So figuring out how to work with each other, what combinations for us defensively and offensively work best. But just getting out there and seeing something live makes a big difference. Maybe get the rust off or the nerves out for the freshmen. We've got a couple transfers that shouldn't be as nervous, but will be new to us and how we operate. So getting them in a rhythm and getting them to know each other to see if we can build that same foundation of chemistry that we had last year.
So you've got a less experienced roster, although there's a good amount of returners coming back who played significantly last year. Does that change how you coach, how you try to, you know, do you find yourself slowing down? Because last year people had been through it 3, 4, 5 times.
I would say there's a few more things I'll need to tell Paige Rocha than I had to tell Riley Buck or Lainey Brown that I had to tell Madison Perrigan. So it is, there'll be a little bit more breakdown offensively, especially defensively. I mean, if you look at our starting lineup from last year, we're missing a catcher who caught, 250 plus games, and Riley at third, Kaylee Hecker at second, and B. Nick in center field. So obviously a ton of experience where we do have returners with talent, but they maybe didn't get as much game time. They saw it all in action. They know what to do. They practice behind these kids, so they're not coming in completely blind. But it's some things, you know, are going to take a little bit more time. We did some pretty intense defensive coaching yesterday as far as first and thirds and steals and cuts and picks and all that stuff. And that's, you know, a lot of that's just getting to know people. Butters could probably read everybody's mind on the infield, whereas now Laney's got to learn a new third baseman, new second baseman. So it's going to take some time. In the cages, we're doing, you know, the same kind of approach as last year. I probably am going a little bit slower because we do have less experience, but same concepts. We have good hitters, so I'm not worried too much about that, but the live swings that they'll get this fall are going to make a big difference.
So you had that group of Madison Perrigan and Riley Buck that you mentioned, and I'm sure they did a lot of the talking, a lot of the leading, a lot of interpreting, here's what Coach Breadbetter means when she says this. Now you've got a group behind them, Sydney McKinney, Neely Herring, Lauren Mills, that have been here but maybe haven't had to be quite as vocal. How are they doing in kind of filling in that role?
Yeah, you're 100% correct. The talk at practice has gotten better steadily, but at the beginning was pretty much non-existent. It was very quiet. But we've heard, you know, Bailey Nickerson ran the outfield for 4 years. She did a great job and wasn't afraid to tell somebody where to move or what to do, or if they were slacking off or, you know, whatever. She held them to a very high standard. We've got Wiley Glover out there who can do a great job. Bailey Urban's got a lot of experience. Lauren Lucas knows what she's talking about. But from a leadership perspective, Wiley should jump right in there and be able to, you know, teach the young ones what to expect. And then on the infield, I've actually heard Sid McKinney and Neely Herring talking quite a bit. So talking about, you know, coverages and practice setup and this is how we do this and this is how we do that. So they're, while maybe being a vocal leader isn't their default approach, they've jumped in and had, you know, a seamless transition in that in that area because they want to be successful. So they know, while it may be uncomfortable, that's how you get better. They're going to step outside of their comfort zone and tell people, you know, what we need to do to be as good, if not better, than we were last year.
So you mentioned the two of the newcomers that will, I think it's safe to say, are going to play pretty significant roles. Ariel James at second base is a transfer from Houston, and Zoe Jones, a transfer from Texas Tech, maybe at third base. Tell us a little bit about those two and how they fit in.
Yeah, so far it's been great. Obviously, Ariel coming from Houston has a ton of in-game experience in the American Conference and success, for that matter. She comes in with probably the most – she's prepared the most of any newcomer because she lived this just in a different location. So she's been great defensively, has jumped right in smooth over there at second base. Offensively, working out a little bit of the rust yet, had a really good day yesterday, I thought. So she should be fine, should be a big factor in our offense. Zoe Jones is looking good at third base, does a really nice job. She played a little first and second, I think, for Texas Tech last year. So I think she'll transition to third base just fine. Offensively, she needs a little work. Has a great swing, has a lot of power. We just need to make her more consistent. But she's been outstanding to work with. Wants to do more, wants more instruction, wants more reps, wants to learn as much as she can, trying to take it all in. So those two I look for, being new but having experience and maybe not being nervous and knowing what to expect and maybe coming here to better their overall experience. So they're not going to mess around. They're going to dig right in and get to work.
Who else do we have at those two positions?
At third base, we have Paige Rocha, who is a sophomore, and Kristen Nelson's a freshman from Texas. And Cam Compton can play a little third base. She could do that. Second base, Maddie Espinosa has been practicing there primarily. I think we're good with Addie Barnard in the outfield now. We had her at second base a little bit last year, but I think she's going to fight for a big-time spot in the outfield. So we're looking at those five or so that could kind of rotate in and out there.
You mentioned Bailey Nickerson. She started every game last year in center field. Take us through some of the options in the outfield.
Yeah, we have six outfielders returning. We've got Lauren Lucas and Bailey Urban, Wiley Glover, Lauren Johnson, Tatum Long, and Addie Barnard. I think that's six. Outstanding offensive ability from all of those options. So Bailey Urban did a great job over the summer, not reinventing, but really flattening out her swing and making herself more consistent and with power to all fields. So she took a really dedicated approach to her summer workout and has shown great success so far this fall. So I'm excited to see her in a live situation this weekend. Wiley Glover and Lauren Lucas played in that Florida Gulf Summer League. So they both played I don't know how many games they played in that whole league, but Neely Herring and Aaron McDonald played as well. So those guys got a ton of reps and a ton of live situations. So they don't have the typical 3 months of beach and maybe part-time job and all that stuff. They played a lot of softball, so they'll come in ready to go. Both left-handed, good power for both of them, decent speed for both of them. Lauren Johnson, probably our fastest. Well, Lauren Johnson and Addie Barnard, pretty comparable with when it comes to speed. But Lauren hits from the left side, can slap, can swing, has added a lot of power since last year. So, and she does a nice job of covering a ton of ground in the outfield because of her speed. And Tatum Long actually has a cannon in right field and has an unbelievable amount of power at the plate. So we've just got to get her to be consistent as well. It's super competitive in the outfield. I think all six of them are going to make a push for it, which is nice to have, obviously make themselves better. But if we get to a point where we can play matchups offensively, we have righties and lefties that all can do it. So it's going to be an exciting race out there in the outfield.
You mentioned the summer softball in Florida. That seems to be a growing thing in college softball. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. And I think it's getting bigger next summer, too. I haven't read a lot about it, but all of them have really enjoyed their experience. And Aaron McDonald had a ton of success down there this summer. And Neely Herring, this was her second summer doing it. So I think, the softball, obviously college baseball has more opportunity to continue in summer leagues for the collegiate guys. And the softball world needs a little bit more of it. So this league has been a huge boost for kids that want to keep playing during their careers so that they can continue to get better in the off season. So hopefully it keeps going and maybe picks up somewhere else too and they can expand.
You mentioned Eddie Barnard, who had a just fabulous freshman year. How are you talking with her about approaching a sophomore season in which some things will change, I'm sure?
Yeah, you know, she's an interesting one because she's so hard on herself. You don't have to really push her too much. She's gonna do that to herself. So we just have to make sure she doesn't do it too much. The approach for opponents of hers is going to be different because there's no Butters behind her. She might not get as many good pitches because Butters was here for 5 years and nobody wanted to throw to her. So they may approach Addie a little differently. So we're just going to have to work on her being more patient, making sure she's swinging good pitches, and she's making people try to get her out instead of getting herself out. So I think, you know, sophomore year is always tough because the scouting reports are out. Everybody knows, you know, what you did last year. And her freshman year was so good that it's going to be hard to live up to that no matter what. But, you know, if anybody can do it, I've got money on her. She's fun to watch. She's got a ton of explosive power, speed. So as long as we can keep her, you know, even keel and calm, I think she has a chance to do it again. So, and if she does that, whew, junior and senior year are going to be really fun.
What did she do over the summer?
You know, she tried out for the under 19 under Olympic U.S. team. Didn't make that squad, but was what a cool thing to be a part of. She did that in late June, I think. And then I think after that, I think she just worked out at home. Her sister still plays. Her sister's in high school, so she's got plenty of people up in Beatrice to work out with and go to the cages with and that kind of stuff. So she came back in great shape, very strong. Looks great.
That's exactly what you would expect.
Yes.
Sydney McKinney, shortstop. She was the conference player of the year last year. How does her role change as now she's kind of moved to, she's now one of the more experienced players on this team?
Yeah. I mean, what a nice thing for us to have somebody with that much experience, with that much success, kind of the captain of the infield right now, but is a very normal person. Helps set up everything. I mean, she's in the thick of it from teaching the new kids, you know, where to go, what to do, carrying equipment, and doing work on her own. So, I mean, her role changes a little bit from she has to be a little more vocal, which she's seeming to jump right into that and be fine. I expect Sid to hit all the time. Just, I mean, somehow, some way, she puts the ball in play and finds her way on base. And it can be the ugliest pitch or the ugliest swing, and she's standing on second. And it's... she's got to be the biggest nightmare in the conference to throw to. I just don't know how you get her out. And that's really exciting to have at the top of your order. So I think she sets the table, sets the tone for the whole offense. And then everybody can kind of calm down and she'll lead the way. And defensively, instinctively I always talk offense first, but defensively she was outstanding last year and made some huge plays in big time situations. Almost just kind of like no big deal. So, which is what sets her apart, is that she does more when you... I mean, she does the necessary amount, but then she'll go above and beyond without hesitation, without even making it, you know, without breaking a sweat. She's a blast to watch, a blast to coach. So I think if she can continue to set the table and set the tone and kind of teach our young kids the way it works, we're going to be in really good hands.
Seems like Sydney walked in here pretty ready to, you know, she contributed almost from the day she walked in the door. Did you see a light bulb moment or a turning point where she really began to figure things out?
Yes and no. I would say, you know, we were lucky to get her at semester, her freshman year, and really we're like, oh, what a great pickup. And now looking back, I'm not sure what we would have done without picking her up. You know, we would have found a way. We always managed to put a good team together. But she's such a huge part of our offense and defense that it's hard to imagine working without her. Defensively, I'd say last year at the beginning in the fall, you could kind of see her perk up and say, oh, I'm going to win this spot. I can play short and hit and hold it down. And I don't think, after her freshman year, I don't think any of us doubted that, but she did such a nice job at third base and second base that we hadn't really considered, with Kaylee Hecker being able to play shortstop, we hadn't really considered how much that would impact our defense. And then she started showing and proving, and then it was almost a no-brainer. Like, she has to be there. So maybe early in the fall last year, there was kind of a aha moment there. Offensively, she's been good since she stepped in the box. You know, her first spring. She's learned a little bit more about her swing as far as, you know, what she's looking for early and what she doesn't necessarily like. But even the pitches she doesn't like, she seems to hit well. So she finds a way to compete every single pitch. And I think that's been her whole life, her whole softball career. So I'm interested to see how she gets pitched with Addie behind her and then lacking Butters. But, you know, then we have Neely and Lolo. I mean, it's not an easy lineup to get through. So it's going to be interesting. But I expect her to do great things again.
Sydney's ability to hit, I guess, bad pitches, kind of just take them wherever she needs to take them, is that hand-eye coordination? I know she worked a lot with her dad. I think she's probably spent a lot of time just taking swings and that kind of stuff. How do you get to that point where you can do those things with all those kind of pitches?
Yeah, I would say it's 100% hand-eye coordination. It's the way that she gets her barrel to some pitches that some other people can't even touch is amazing. And you just kind of shrug your shoulders and, you know, for some pitchers, I think, that's unfortunate for you. You can't do anything about it. That was a good pitcher's pitch, and she found a way to dink it down the line and spin it into the corner. So she's hand-eye coordination for sure, because sometimes you can tell she's left-handed hitting, right-handed throwing, so she'll get out on her front side but be able to keep her hands back and just kind of flick the barrel wherever it needs to be. So it doesn't always look pretty, but she can keep it all together long enough to get the barrel to the ball. So 100% hand-eye coordination, and she would say a little bit of luck, but I think she's kind of created that for herself.
Is she good at other things like ping pong, other hand-eye coordination? Does she golf? Sometimes it seems like with these people that are good at those kind of things, they're good at everything.
That's a good point. I would expect her to be good at everything. I know she's very artistic, very talented with paintbrush. So not that there's a high-speed component of painting, but, you know, but she probably is pretty good at ping pong. We'll have to find out.
Softball dinner and auction on September 25th. So one of the things that people get to do is maybe sit at a table with some of the Shockers. Is there a group you would say, or a Shocker softball player, you would say this would be an interesting conversation? Sit next to them because you may learn something about
anything.
Something. Pets. I know there's a lot of pets on this team.
You know what? I would sit with Maddie Espinosa and talk about guinea pigs.
Yep.
Guinea pigs.
All right.
Absolutely. And she's a hoot to talk to anyway, so she would be a good one. She has two now. Or you could talk to Lolo about rabbits. She's got Jerry. We've got a unique group of individuals on this team, so no matter who you sat with, I think you'd learn something, or at least walk away from that table scratching your head wondering, wow, they're so good at softball, and that was the weirdest conversation I've ever had.
Lolo was, that would have been my first guess if I would have to predict your answer. She's an interesting,
she's got Jerry, and she's, and you know, I've rabbit sat Jerry. I guess we've had Jerry at our house, and I mean, everything's gone fine. It's about the size of my dog, so it's a good match.
Excellent.
Yeah. Excellent. So those two for sure. Now we do have a lot of dogs. Yeah, a lot of kids have dogs. So, but we've got a lot of personalities, Paul. These kids are a riot. So you get them going on any given subject, and they'll let you have it. It's pretty comical. So yeah, any chance anybody gets to sit down at our banquet and chat with the kids, it'll be worth your time.
Thank you for listening to the Roundhouse Podcast, courtesy of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We appreciate your time. We encourage you to rate, review, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, such as on iTunes or Google Play. You can find more Roundhouse content at GoShockers.com. Thank you for listening.
And they let him pass it up court, and then it gets picked off. A long three by Pangos, no good. 1 second, it's over. It is over, and Wichita State has beaten the number one team in the nation to go to the Sweet 16. Go crazy, Wichita. I know you.